Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The fate of the northwest Bosnian town of Bihać is in doubt this morning as all sides talk about a ceasefire. At last report, the Serbs are still battering the UN-protected enclave. Elsewhere, they hold some 250 UN peacekeepers as virtual hostages. UN Secretary General Boutros Ghali in Geneva is pressing for a ceasefire and says he will use all the means at his disposal to guarantee its success. The UN's top military and civilian officials in Bosnia held ceasefire talks with warring Muslims and Serbs at Sarajevo Airport, after which Bosnian-Serb negotiator Nikola Koljevic reported an agreement.
The Serb side proposed an immediate signing of the preliminary end to the war. The Muslim side proposed just the ceasefire. The end to the war comprises the ceasefire and cessation of hostilities. So it's quite obvious that Serbs are ready to end this war immediately.
Bosnia's Prime Minister Haris Silajic wants a ceasefire but doubts Serbs' sincerity.
We expressed our agreement to have a ceasefire the whole of Bosnia and Herzegovina immediately, and they will answer by 7 o'clock tonight. But judging by what's going on right now in Bihać, I'm afraid that this is another buying time operation.
The mayor of embattled Bihać reports through a translator that Serb gunners continue violating the UN safe zone.
Whilst they expected ceasefire today, what they got instead is intensified shelling from all available weapons that Serbs have at their command, it seems. Tanks and artillery from all sides. Shells are carpeting every part of the town right now.
UN military sources say Serb forces now occupy about 20% of the Bihać safe area and would face little resistance if they wanted to take the town. Reports from Lebanon say 7 Palestinians were killed in fighting in a refugee camp after pro-Arafat guerrillas seized dissident positions. The battle raged for 5 hours. The sound of Friday prayers at the Gaza Strip mosque where a week ago violence erupted that left 14 Palestinians dead. Another show of force between Palestinian factions was feared today, but as Jesse Shulman reports, cooler heads prevailed.
The Islamic radical group Hamas has canceled what would have been a very tense mass rally planned for today in the Gaza Strip. There was a real danger of gunfights breaking out between Hamas militants and supporters of PLO leader Yasser Arafat that could spark a civil war. There are still plenty of possible flashpoints, though, and the crisis between the Palestinian self-rule authorities and the Islamic radicals certainly does not appear to be over.
Israeli Prime Minister Rabin says he opposes the death sentence handed down by an Israeli military court on a Palestinian guerrilla for a deadly bus bombing. With today's start of the Christmas shopping season, merchants are waiting for the jingle of cash register bells. Money editor John Stair.
If you're a retailer, this is the most important time of year for you. Some stores make as much as 50% of their profits between now and the end of December. Surveys say they shouldn't be disappointed this year, especially if they have the right merchandise.
I see increases of 6.5% to 7% in apparel against last year, and perhaps a little higher as far as hard goods and home furnishings are concerned.
That's retail analyst Alan Milstein, who says that doesn't mean businesses will find making money this year a cinch.
Two of the Grinches that could throw a monkey wrench into increased sales for major retailers would be the weather, if it remains unseasonably warm, which will stop the sale of hats, gloves, and outerwear garments, and the fear perhaps that credit card rates are going to be skyrocketing based upon the negative news about increased interest rates.
But one thing in favor of retailers is prices, which haven't gone up much since last year. Experts say there are bargains for shoppers, and that could help make this a stellar year for business. John Stair, CBS News, New York.
And as Suzanne Chapman reports from KLBJ Austin, many gifts this year will come with fat instruction manuals.
It's beginning to look like a high-tech Christmas. Texas A&M University economics professor and researcher James McNeil says high-tech items will be big this holiday season.
I'm talking about computers, I'm talking about VCRs even for kids, and this year we're going to see a few grandparents at least, if not parents, we're going to see a few grandparents buying fax machines for their grandchildren.
That way the grandparents can get pictures and letters more often. McNeil says in some cases grandparents may spend more money on gifts for the kids this year than parents will. He also expects merchants will see a 10% overall increase in sales this year compared to last Christmas. Suzanne Chapman for CBS News, Austin.
Defense Secretary William Perry, trying to ease strains on active duty troops, has reportedly approved the use of reservists in many peacetime roles now performed by regular forces. The New York Times reports the plan would send many reservists and National Guard members overseas for their annual training time. In about 7 hours, you can pick up your phone, dial the country code 53, and call a number in communist Cuba, something you haven't been able to do for 30 years. Both AT&T and MCI say they'll offer the direct dial service. Until now, AT&T has been routing calls to Cuba through Italy. In Key Biscayne, Florida, Cuban-born political scientist Luis Aguilar León says greater communication can only help.
It could be beneficial for the Cuban-American, not only in terms of family, but also in terms of knowing better instead of rumors of what's happening in Cuba.
Four other telecoms plan their own Cuba links soon. Bomb-grade uranium that has leaked from an old experimental reactor and lodged in a pipe at the Oak Ridge, Tennessee National Laboratory reportedly has raised fears of an accidental nuclear reaction. According to the New York Times, Energy Department officials have not yet decided what to do about the 4.4 pounds of uranium. A week after posting nearly $3 billion in losses, a global trademark has lost its flamboyant but ailing figurehead. Bruce Dunning has that in Tokyo.
He was Mr. Sony, the white-haired dynamo who made the Japanese electronics firm a household word around the world. Sony Corporation announced that Akio Morita has resigned as chairman of the board. It was a quiet, sad ending to a career for a man who personified Japan's post-war economic miracle. Financed by his family's sake brewing fortune, he and a partner launched a small electronics business right after World War II. The firm, which became Sony, was one of the first to see how the tiny transistor could replace the bulky vacuum tube for consumer electronics. Later, his company harnessed the even tinier chip to create the go-anywhere icon of the 1980s, the Walkman, and all of its successors. Asked once what the name Sony meant, Morita said it meant nothing, just a word that would sound the same all over the world. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
A Chicago freeway accident last night claimed 6 lives. 2 others were injured in the fiery 3-vehicle crash on I-57. The Detroit News reports federal regulators are moving toward asking Chrysler to recall 4 million minivans to replace allegedly defective rear door latches. The paper says at least 10 deaths have been blamed on the defect. Milton Schaap, Democratic governor of Pennsylvania for 8 years in the 70s, has died. He was 82. On Wall Street, the Dow is ahead nearly 27. It's 10 past.